The context of my message today is from the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, first book. I always refer to Matthew as the book that's tried, tested, and true. Tried, tested, and true. The title I've given my sermon today, well, it's somewhat graphic, but then again, so is hell. I call my sermon Liars in the Fire. Liars in the Fire, and the heat goes on. Oh, ooh, stay tuned. Lord God, thank you for this privilege and opportunity I have, Lord, to do this sermon today. I pray you will give me utterance, Lord. And I pray, Lord, those that hear it will be moved by it, Lord. That they will know for sure what it's like, really like, to be a child of the King. And not to worry anymore, for you're in charge. Lord God, please bless this message now. And may you be glorified when all is said and done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. Okay, we're going to turn to Matthew, the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. And I will read verses 15 to 23, which will set the stage for today's message. Okay, that's Matthew 7, verses 15 to 23. And the word of God says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit." Pardon me. Let me read that once again. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And verse 19, "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." You got that? "By their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works?" And last verse 23 hits the mark. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." There you have it. And that's what this sermon is all about today. They who do iniquity, those who do not know for sure, those who will be liars in the fire. Oh, yes. Now, if you go to the market, and you buy some fruit, and the first thing that comes to mind when you lift that fruit out of the bin or the basket or whatever, do you squeeze it? Do you squeeze it? Do you smell it? Or maybe where grapes and cherries are concerned, you pop one in your mouth. You want to know how fresh the product is and to be sure you're getting only the best. I won't tell you that when you toss a grape in your mouth, you're stealing. I won't tell you that. Okay. I mentioned that fact to a friend of mine, and he said, oh, don't be silly. They expect you to do it. Really? It's still stealing, is it not? It's stealing. And in the eyes of a righteous and holy God, well, stealing is sin. So, I'll say only this. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Would he test the fruit? Would he try the fruit? Knowing that it has to be weighed at the end of when you get to the checkout, would he? I guess you know the answer, don't you? Now, most people absolutely refuse to believe that slipping a couple of grapes or a few cherries in your mouth in the local supermarket is really stealing. Ask anybody. They'll just say, oh, don't be silly. Don't be silly. Well then, let me put it this way. Do you measure sin like you would measure distance? Do you measure sin like you would measure distance? Now let me ask you this. Do you believe you're saved and on your way to heaven? Well, if so, what do you base that on? Well, you walk the aisle, right? You walk the aisle, you gave your life to Christ, right? And then the Holy Spirit, well, he came and he indwelt you, right? Tell me, what is the main reason for the Holy Spirit indwelling a believer? What's the main reason? To convict and to give you direction, right? To convict you of what's right and what's wrong, and to give you direction. That's why the Holy Spirit indwells you. Because you may have said, well, I didn't know that was right or wrong, but once you're saved, you've repented, and you've received Christ, believed in the gospel, then you will know, because the Holy Spirit will convict you. Oh, okay. And yet you steal and deny that it is sin. You steal and deny it's sin. You claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit of God. And yet you lie. Tell me, are you familiar with what happened to Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5? Read it. They lied to the Holy Spirit. Now the question is, if you truly are saved and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, then aren't you at risk? Aren't you at risk of taking a header right there on the floor? Going down for the count? But you didn't. You didn't drop over dead, right? When you ate those grapes or those cherries. You didn't. Yet you professed to be saved. But you didn't drop down dead, did you? So what does that tell you? One of two things. You are either being truthful when you say you didn't steal the fruit, or you may not be saved at all. You're either lying when you said you were saved, or you didn't steal the fruit. You weren't under conviction by the Holy Spirit. May I suggest you examine yourselves to see if you really, really are in the faith? May I suggest that? It may be only a grape or a cherry, But it doesn't belong to you until it's paid for. And how can they possibly weigh the fruit that you've taken and it's already inside your stomach? You know, it's little things like this that people just kind of pass off. Well, that's no big deal. Well, you know what? Little sins are as big a deal as big sins. Sin is sin. You see, I reckon the way it is with God, He wants the true fruit, the good fruit. The true fruit, the good fruit, the real fruit, love, like love, joy, peace, and so on. Don't you think? Let's go on. 1 Matthew verse 7. We are told through the word of God to beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. And I want to tell you, their numbers are multiplying every day. Every day. Oh, I thought they were saved. I thought he was saved. I didn't know he wasn't saved. He acted like he was. Of course, I didn't see him alone. Really? Interesting. We are also learning of those who first appeared now to be real Christians, to be true. But have fallen by the wayside. You thought they were, but they've fallen by the wayside. And you say to yourself or just to somebody else, I don't believe it. I never would have guessed that person wasn't saved. I know they made a profession of faith. They come to church every Sunday. I know one guy even sings in the choir. Well, listen to this. A lot who appear to be saved are not saved at all. You know, what about Billy Graham? Now, if I said Billy Graham, I don't think he's saved. You'd probably say, oh, come on, who do you think you are? Now you're really being judgmental. Everybody knows Billy Graham is saved. Well, does he? Is he? Was he? What about John Hagee? Oh, don't go there. Oh, okay. But is he really saved? And Jack Vanapi, and the list goes on. Did they not come to us in sheep's clothing, only to later reveal their true identity? Did they? Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Have you got that? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Of course, it's a well-known factor that Billy Graham, and I can verify this because I happened to see the program on TV when he made the statement, oh yes, I think Jesus is the right way to heaven, but he's not the only way. Have they got that? He said, I think Jesus is the best way, but he's not the only way. Wow. Whew. And, you know, John Hagee, he's gone out into the cosmos somewhere. I mean, these are people who have led other people to the Lord. And yet, they had their own shortcomings. Jack Vanapi. Now, I can relate to Jack Vanapi because when I was in the process, and I'll call it a process, just for the sake of getting this point across. When I was in that process of getting saved, I used to watch him on TV all the time. My wife and I both, we watched him. He had the King James Authorized 1611 Bible, and we had the same thing, and we'd follow along with him, and he sent out lots of videos that the King James is the Word of God, the King James Authorized 1611. He made that very clear. We believe that. Recently, after all those years, I see Jack Vanderbee on TV, and he's holding up his Bible, and he's saying, "This is the Word of God." And on the front cover is these a configuration of three, which are three sixes. Six, six, six. New King James Bible. He left the original, the authorized King James Bible, and went into the New King James, which is full of errors. So, what are you supposed to do? I mean, right away you start to doubt your own salvation. Is it okay to read any Bible? There are hundreds of them out there. Does it matter which one you read? Well, it does according to God. According to Psalm 12, 6 and 7. For the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Forever. Not for a few years, or a century even. Forever. Wow. Like I said, then there's those that are obvious, like Benny Hinn, Rick Warren, Joel Osteen, to name but three of a growing list. I mean, what they do is outrageous. Outrageous. Thank God for verse 16, I'll tell you. Verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. You shall know them by their fruits. Wonderful. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Tell me, do you attend a church? Do you attend a church where the good fruit is preached? Or is it watered down or not even mentioned at all? Oh yeah, there are churches like that out there. The emphasis is on the music, getting you all blissfully disarrayed. Many of today's mega churches are more interested in supplementing their coffers than preaching the complete Word of God. They want the money. All these evangelists you see on TV, or pardon me, most of them, if not all of them, are very rich. Yeah. Of course, you knew that anyway, didn't you? I wonder how they got that way. The old traditional hymns. You don't hear them much anymore, do you? No. Oh, no. They're just put on the back shelf somewhere. And guess what? The rock that was once the Christ of God is displayed symbolically as a steel guitar and a set of Ringo Starr drums. That's what's on most of these mega church podiums today. electric steel guitars and drums, the devil's instruments. And the kids are rocking in the aisles. Wow, that's one way of getting them into church, isn't it? Play their music, even have them participate. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Keep that in mind. Only the old school Christians, the old school Christians, only they dress up now. Well, the New Agers prefer to wear jeans and hip huggers. The element of respect in the house of God is no longer in vogue. It's like attending a feast, a giant feast, and consuming only a side dish. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. You're getting the message. By their fruits you will know them. And in verse 19, the Word of God tells us that every tree that bringeth forth or bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, I wonder what kind of fire that would be. Huh? A liar's fire, right? Hellfire, right? In many churches, it's reached the point that special Sunday morning services are offered to the old school Christians. Why? So that the rockers can strut their stuff in the main service. Seldom is the gospel preached in its fluency. Seldom is it ever preached in its fluency. But only dabbled in, somewhere between the public service announcements and the final amen. Thus, the application of verse 21 must be applied. And what does it say? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Excuse me. Have you got that? Are you a Lord, Lord, wishy-washer? Do you talk the talk, but you can't seem to walk the walk? Then you're not a workman approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're not. I know lots of professing Christians who profess to read their Bible every day and have been doing so for years. But they can't answer you when you ask a simple Bible question. Why? Why is that? Because they cannot rightly divide the word of truth. And the reason why they can't rightly divide the word of truth is because they read too many different Bible versions and are so confused they can't tell the difference between truth and error. They can't. Well, this Bible says this, and this Bible over here says that. Which one is right? Oh, it's a real calamity, folks. I hope you're not caught in all these different Bible versions. And the reason for that, why they can't tell the difference, can only mean one thing. They're not saved. They only think they are, because somebody told them they were. People, come on. The only way you're going to fully understand what God's holy book is saying through the indwelling Holy Spirit is by the Spirit to be actually indwelling you. Okay? And you will not know if you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God until, as I mentioned earlier, until you examine yourself. You might say, well, I'm not a doctor. What do you mean examine myself? What am I supposed to do? Whip out a stethoscope? It'll tell me if I'm saved or not? Well, it'll probably give you a better answer than what you have already. No. Go to 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5. In the King James Bible, you will read what God has put there. Not what man has put there, what God has put there. And it says, listen carefully, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? That's pretty clear, isn't it? Have you examined yourself lately? I don't mean you stood in front of a mirror and said, oh, yeah, I got another mole there. Oh, what's that on my right cheek? Is that a pimple coming? No. That's not the examination I'm talking about. Neither is the one you get when you go to the doctor. You're not examining your body. You're examining your soul. You're examining your inner being. If you really are a child of the King. People, salvation is of the Lord. Are you getting the picture? Walking the aisle. It's not even mentioned in the Bible. Salvation is a personal thing. Salvation is a personal thing. Have you any idea how many of Billy Graham's aisle-walking converts really got converted? Got converted? Well, in case you didn't know, most of Billy's bleacher buddies had a representative from their own church or their own belief system waiting for them off camera to make sure that they didn't stray too far from their home church protocol, their home church, what they taught there. I mean, walking the aisle is fine if you're rededicating your life to Christ or responding to a special invite set before the church. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not knocking that. But keep in mind, getting saved is a very personal one-on-one. One-on-one. It's between you and God. Let me say this, and then I'm finished. Getting saved, giving your life to Christ is the most important and personal declaration you will ever make. It's not a group thing at summer camp where I'll do it if you do it. I'll go down if you go down. Okay, well, take my hand. No. Like I said, it's one on one. There need be no intermediary. If you read the Bible, if you understand what the preacher told you about salvation, and it's coincidental to the Bible now, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If it is, and you believe that, then all you need then is Christ. Repent and believe. That's what the scripture says. Repent and believe. Now, some people get all carried away with this repent. They don't like that word. Oh, repent. Repent. I don't like it at all. Get it out of here. No, they're afraid of it because it means they've got to change their life. You know, I was like that too before I got saved. Oh, I couldn't do that. I mean, I got to have my drink. I mean, I got to have my cigarette. I got to have this. I got to have that. But you know what happened? Once I repented, gave my life over to Christ, and the Holy Spirit came and dwelt within me, he took that desire, that lust away from me. He convicted me. And he made it a lot simpler, a lot easier. You can do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it. I mean, there was nobody living in more debauchery than I was before I got saved. And it took a death, well, almost death itself. Well, a kind of death, death of the old self, I guess, for me to give my life over to Christ. Not, okay, come on, let's go down together. No. Like I said, giving your life to Christ is one-on-one. One-on-one, you and Jesus. Tell me. Tell me. Are you really saved? Do you know that for sure? Or will you just be another liar in the fire when all is said and done? You say, well, how can I be sure? You're talking about examining yourself. I don't know about that. Well, you have to understand the Word of God takes preeminence over your doubts and anything else that anyone will tell you. Do what the Word of God tells you to do. Examine yourself. Sure you can do it. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, let a man examine himself. And in 2 Corinthians 13:5 is the clincher. As I said earlier, examine yourself. Now this is important. Listen carefully. If you don't try, memorize this so you can tell others who are not walking according to the Spirit but according to their flesh. Lead them to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates? That's not hard to understand. Well, I don't know what else I can tell you. Except get on your knees and talk to God and tell him you're not sure, but you want to be sure. He'll work it out. All you have to do is repent and believe. Repent and believe. I want to thank you for listening. And if you want to know what a reprobate really is, well, check out my testimony under resume at tillycomes.net, Battle Site for Christ. God bless you.